Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're at the Minnesota State Fair talking about the Minnesota National Guard and our Yellow Ribbon programs. In a moment, we're going to meet the commander of the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Since 9/11, more than 25,000 citizen soldiers and airmen have deployed in support of operations Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, and New Dawn. The timeline for the Minnesota National Guard started the morning of 9/11 at 11 a.m. when our Duluth-based 148th Fighter Wing was activated and immediately started patrolling the skies. In the spring of 2004, the first of many Minnesota National Guard troops deployed to support Operation Iraqi Freedom. In 2005, the 148th Fighter Wing provided close air support to ground troops in Iraq. At the same time, the 133rd Airlift Wing provided air support to the Gulf region and nine other countries. As a Monticello-based 216th Air Defense Artillery and the Hastings-based 134th Signal Battalion soldiers returned in 2005. They were part of the new reintegration program called Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, designed to help service members and their families acclimate to a new normal. This program gained national traction and became a federally funded program. The 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division was mobilized in 2005. And was recognized as having served the longest tour of Iraq of any military unit, active or reserve. They were deployed away from home for 22 months, with 16 months in combat. They mobilized again in 2010 and were recognized as the largest Minnesota deployment since World War II. Just as ships pass in the night, the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division headquarters was arriving in Basra, Iraq, as the St. Paul-based 34th Combat Aviation Brigade was departing in 2009. The division provided command and control for 16,000 U.S. military service members and operated in nine of Iraq's 18 provinces. The 148th Fighter Wing deployed approximately 300 airmen plus aircraft to Kandahar Airfield, Afghanistan. This is the first time they deployed with the new Block 50 F-16 aircraft. Remember 9/11. And remember that in the war on terrorism, your Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen are always ready to support and defend this nation and state. Thank you for your support of all service members, their families, and employers since 9/11.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota National Guard is the commander of the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, Major General Neil Leuthold. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks for having me back on this great Minnesota State Fair Military Appreciation Day in honor of our military youth.
It's a fun day out here at the fair. The weather is great, and as we just heard from General Nash, Minnesota National Guard has been pretty busy since 9/11, haven't they?
We really have been, Tom. Over 26,000 individual days of deployment, Army and Air National Guard, all theaters, all areas supporting the theaters, and even here at home, which is often forgotten now that we've been deployed for so long overseas.
General, you are now the commander of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, a legendary division nationwide, not to mention Minnesota. What a great position, sir.
It really is. It's something that I certainly never thought I would ascend to, Tom, but now that I have, I'll try to make the most of it. Interesting, you know, yesterday was the division's birthday, so happy birthday to the division.
Sir, can you tell us briefly how many soldiers make up the division?
Well, we count just over 10,000 in Minnesota proper, Tom, but with our training alignment relationships in six other states, it's about 25,000 total soldiers aligned under the division.
And as we learned last week, you have the 1st Brigade Combat Team in Minnesota, and you have some other soldiers in Iowa.
Well, we got a full brigade in Minnesota, a full brigade in Iowa, as well as support brigades and another cavalry brigade that are in the outstates.
In general, I understand that you recently came back from the Army's largest warfighter exercise that was in Kansas. Can you tell us what that was about, sir?
Tom, a warfighter is, for us at least, it was an eight-day simulated war conducted with software simulation that's designed to replicate the formations, the actions, and the decision-making that would occur during actual combat operations. The division led a force that comprised over 10 subordinate brigades from 14 different states and all components, active, reserve, and National Guard. Over 3,000 people participated at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, in direct combat operations, multinational operations, peacekeeping, and intergovernmental affairs. All in all, it was the largest warfighter exercise that the Army has conducted to date.
In general, I understand that the mission of the warfighter was to defeat a division tactical group and push them out of a fictitious country and to restore local government and restore their essential services. And I understand the division performed admirably, sir.
We really did. Numerous accolades to the division by the active duty evaluators that were there. Excellent performance on the part of all of our soldiers from our soldiers at the very, very bottom of the formation all the way up to the individuals in the command group and the senior NCOs who worked so hard to make an operation like that possible.
In general, I also understand you didn't just show up and move into tents. You had to show up and take care of yourselves, too.
Yes. Yeah, it happens that way sometimes, Tom, that a guy finds himself responsible for more than that which he planned.
So you take all those soldiers down there, and you got to feed them and water them and lodge them and make sure everybody's taken care of and have some medics with you as well.
You know, Tom, the division is, it's not the unit. It's the individual soldiers that are in the division. And when you have good quality staff officers, good quality staff NCOs, and motivated and willing soldiers, you can do just about anything. And at that point in time, our level of training was such that that was really a small operation for everybody to do their part.
We're speaking with Major General Neil Leutholdt out at the Minnesota State Fair on Minnesota Military Radio. General, we've been doing the show for almost 4 years, and of course you know I was in the Air Force in Vietnam, but United States service members have a unique ability to be able to pick up, pack up, and move anywhere in the world and get comfortable and take care of their mission, don't they?
They really do. I think it's one of the hallmark traits of the United States Army is that we train to a standard that allows us to adjust as we need to. You know, our 34th Combat Aviation Brigade that's in Kuwait right now, when it started training 6 months ago, there was very little that was happening in Iraq and Kuwait. But we trained them just as hard, and certainly there were soldiers who asked, you know, why do we have to train this hard? That might not be our mission. And now that brigade finds itself at the tip of the spear in Kuwait conducting some very important operations for us in that theater of operations. And so that training module, that methodology certainly has paid us dividends.
In general, we'll find out how well that's working because the commander of that unit is going to be calling in during the second segment of this show, Colonel Greg Thingvold, and we'll see how that's going. General, a lot of the folks here at the fair probably aren't thinking about our service members and how many are deployed around to various places all over the world. How many folks in the Minnesota National Guard do we have out there serving our country?
You make a good point, Tom. We don't make the paper as much anymore as we used to, and certainly not above the fold, but right now, today, we still have over 500 deployed. That's Army and Air National Guard. That's big units like brigades that we just talked about, the Combat Aviation Brigade, all the way down to small units like a small transportation company and then individual sections from our 133rd Airlift Wing.
And historically, General, I've learned that when the Army units go out, they generally go out for a little longer period of time than the Air units, but the Air units might go a little more often.
I think it all works itself out in the end, Tom, if someone's keeping a tally of total days or total amount of sacrifice. You know, we like to say everybody has their own pain. And so there's a certain type of pain that's associated with a deployment if you're in the Air National Guard and a different sort of pain that's associated with a deployment if you're in the Army Guard.
But overall, the Minnesota National Guard is performing a wonderful service, both for the state and the nation, and living up to every accolade and the legend of the division, aren't they?
Indeed they are, Tom. Our units, to include our two great Air National Guard wings, are at the highest levels of readiness that they've ever been at. They continue to win awards. They continue to be first in class in everything that they do and in all of the areas that they interact with their active component brethren.
General Lytle, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Colonel Greg Thingvold, all the way from Kuwait. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're broadcasting today from the Minnesota State Fair. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we're at the Minnesota State Fair talking about the Minnesota National Guard. And my co-host for the first half of the show is the commander of the 34th Infantry Division of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Neil Leuthold. And General Leuthold, as we talked about earlier, we've got a special guest joining us from Kuwait today from the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade, Colonel Greg Thingvold. Colonel Thingvold, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to number one, hear your voice, be back on your show. It didn't seem that it doesn't seem that long ago that I was with you in studio back in Minnesota, talking about all the preparations to get the team over here, and lo and behold, here we are executing the mission.
Sir, it was just a couple of months ago. How did the training go down in Texas?
It was good. It's always an interesting endeavor in the reserve components. We get pulled from multiple states, get a short period of time, just over 6 weeks, to synchronize and gel the team and get at the big training items to prepare us to come over and then come over and get it done. And the time at Fort Hood, Texas, was time well spent. And I can say the team, which is really a diverse team, made up of a reserve component aviation support battalion, and then some other of our fellow Red Bull aviation units from Iowa and Kentucky joined us, and we have a strong team, and they're performing very well.
So, Colonel, everyone made it safely from Texas to Kuwait, and you're settled in now?
We did. We assumed the mission here a little over a week ago, and so we're enjoying a little warmer temperatures over here, but hit the ground running. There's no doubt it's a different environment than it was when I was in your studio, you know, given what's going on to the north of us. And so we're certainly engaged on not only, you know, the typical peacekeeping missions here, but, you know, supporting the RCENT commander and Army Central Command in other ways as well. And so we are fully engaged in and busy, which is a good place to be.
Greg, we had a real interesting discussion in the first segment about the Army's training methodology and why we train to the hardest, most difficult tasks all the time so that we're able to adjust as we need be. Maybe you could give us a minute or so of your thoughts on how much different the environment is now than what it was 6 months ago when you started to consider being in charge of all of the aviation in that theater.
It's different in a couple fronts. You know, one, we knew we were going to be a smaller organization. I mean, the Combat Aviation Brigade is just over 1,000 troops. A full-up aviation brigade, I'd have closer to 3,500 over here. So you take a smaller organization, and then you split it up on a couple different fronts and then try to figure out how to support the team across great distances with the fraction of the soldiers that you would normally have. And so, you know, those kinds of changes to the mission are ones that you don't always get the benefit of getting at the training stations prior to come over here. But really, as you said, you know, you train to some hard scenarios so that when the next hard scenario comes up, you know, you've got the team that doesn't get too excited. You spend some time figuring out how to get it done and then execute. And that's certainly what we came into over here. And again, very proud of the organization, and we're doing well.
Greg, you and I had discussed just before you left that, you know, deployment is the speed of a sprint, but the distance of a marathon. Can you tell the families who are listening a little bit about the living conditions so that they, you know, can feel a little more comfortable with where their soldiers are?
Absolutely. The majority of us are at Camp Bearing, so there's a few different bases here in Kuwait. We're the northernmost, literally out in the sandbox. But Camp Bearing itself, well-established, it's been here for years, and so the soldiers generally live in trailers and air-conditioned. You know, life is good. Some have their own shower, some you don't, but you probably only have to walk a little bit away to get to the facilities, so to speak, and so, you know, the environment is good. The amenities are good. There's certainly treats us well, great exercise facilities. The morale, welfare, and recreation part of what goes on here is well established. And so there's weekly events for soldiers to participate in, as well as just the connectivity. I'm calling you from my trailer hooked up through Magic Jack, through Wi-Fi that I've got right here in my room, and that's the case for the majority of the soldiers. The connections are good. We're hooked up very well back to our families back home, and it makes the ability to work generally, you know, 7 days a week. You know, some will get some time off, maybe a little more than others, but, you know, the days can be fairly long. But when you have time off, it's not a bad environment to get some other stuff done.
Colonel, as we said, we're recording live from the Minnesota State Fair today, and there was someone out in our audience that came in and wanted to say hello.
Hi, honey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Do you recognize this lady, Colonel?
That's right. Well, it was kind of funny because I had first texted Sarah before the show, and then called her over that application, Magic Jack, and so I knew she was in the neighborhood. Good to hear your voice.
Greg, I found her at the Lexus display lot. I don't know if that's surprising to you or not.
Sarah, you don't have to answer that. It might be incriminating, but can you tell Greg who's out in the audience with you today?
So, Greg, out with us is Daryl, your dad, and Brooklyn, our daughter, and then Marie. She's here from France still until Saturday.
Well, fun. Hey, Dad, how are you doing? And yeah, it's good to hear everybody out there and enjoying the great state fair.
Colonel, we just got a couple minutes left. I know when I last saw you, I was at least hoping that you'd have a quiet deployment, but things have changed a little bit. I imagine it's a little busier. Can you share with our listeners just a little bit about how much busier and what type of things you'll be doing?
It is certainly busier. We're providing aviation support to a element that's up working out of Baghdad, and the mission piece can't really get into, but it's certainly an important part of the function that's going on in Iraq, and the challenges that we have that I kind of alluded to earlier of just, you know, how do we support parts of our organization a ways away, you know, making sure they get the parts and maintenance accomplished has had its challenges, but overall executing a great mission up there, again, in support of some pretty important priorities going on in that region.
Colonel, our next segment coming up, we're going to be having on and talking about the Yellow Ribbon programs to support the families, and it's very important to have them back here to support your families and the family of all your soldiers while you're off deployed in Kuwait.
Absolutely, and we couldn't do it without that support back home, and so again, Minnesota leads the way. The Yellow Ribbon Network's top-notch, and in conjunction with our family support groups and all the volunteers, it's truly good to be us because the support is deep and all to support our soldiers and families.
Sarah, we just got about a minute left. Anything else you want to tell the Colonel, your husband?
It's good to hear your voice, honey, and talk to you. Love you. Miss you.
Love you too. Miss you, and we'll get through this quick.
Colonel, we hope to have you back on the show soon and maybe even come for a visit later in the year. Thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Colonel Greg Thingvold from the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade on Minnesota Military Radio. Coming up next, we'll talk to the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with a family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're at the Minnesota State Fair talking about the Minnesota National Guard and the Yellow Ribbon programs, which originated here in Minnesota. And my co-host so far in this show has been Major General Neil Leutholt, the commander of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls of the Minnesota National Guard. And General, that was a pretty interesting conversation with Colonel Thingvold. He's over in harm's way now, isn't he?
He is, and, you know, Tom, you can read as much as you want, pay attention to the news, but there's nothing better than to be able to talk to somebody who's there, standing on the ground, conducting the mission, supporting his nation.
And we've got, in his unit, over 200 Minnesota National Guard soldiers over there with him, and, of course, he's leading some other soldiers, active duty, guard, reserve, and a pretty important mission these days. And it fits right in with what we're doing here at the fair to try to remind all of our Minnesotans that Minnesota National Guard and Reserves and active duty have people deployed all over the world and in harm's way and sometimes, and it's important to remember to help support their families. And here to help us talk about that right now is Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach from the Minnesota's Yellow Ribbon Programs. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
How poignant was that last segment when it ties into exactly what you've been doing for how long now?
About 5 years, since 2008, our communities have really come together to support our service members, veterans, and military families.
And how many Yellow Ribbon communities and how many Yellow Ribbon companies are we up to now?
So we have about 94 Yellow Ribbon community networks, which encompass 215 Yellow Ribbon cities that form the networks. We have 40 Yellow Ribbon companies and 25 Yellow Ribbon counties that are all working together to synchronize their efforts and resources to support our service members and our veterans and their families.
You have been busy, haven't you?
Absolutely. And it continues to grow as more communities want to be part of this wonderful network and synchronization of effort.
Can you share briefly with some of our fairgoers out here, what do the Yellow Ribbon communities do to help support the families?
So Yellow Ribbon communities help bring together all areas of their community, from public safety to city leadership to the business community and, of course, the veterans organizations, to form a steering committee that works together to synchronize their resources and to meet the needs of our service members and their families. And just a note, Tom, although this program started to support service members during the deployment cycle, it has become so successful that we support veterans of any age, any military family across Minnesota.
And, of course, you still do the reintegration programs to help them move back into society and help the families learn how to live with their returning service members, too.
Yes. As Colonel Thingvold said, we absolutely take care of the families. We help during the reintegration events. We make sure that we can share our resources about communities within our Minnesota communities that we didn't even know we had before. So our communities have really been able to connect us to some of their services that our families can take part in.
General, when you first started in as a soldier, did you ever dream we'd have something like the Yellow Ribbon programs available? And, of course, they started right here, Minnesota leading the nation again.
No, it's two interesting points, Tom. When I started, there wasn't anything like the Yellow Ribbon program. But in terms of where we're at right now, I should tell you, we are so lucky to have Annette Kuiper on the team. From good companies like USAA and Highway Federal Credit Union to our corporate partners like Best Buy and General Mills, Annette is the one who pulls all these people together and sort of catalogs, I think, the services and the things that they're able to do for our veterans, synchronizes them, like she described before, and turns them into these wonderful networks like we have in Hugo. And for me as the division commander, there Annette has established a network in every single community, Tom, where we have an armory, where we have a soldier performing the duties that are required by the United States Army.
And Annette, I think you've found that there's a lot of folks out there looking for a way to help support the troops, and you've given them a way to do that.
Yes, the Yellow Ribbon Networks really combine all these efforts, and they also help direct the goodwill of Minnesotans so that they're really utilizing their efforts toward where the need is, that we're able to educate them on the need.
We're broadcasting today from the Minnesota State Fair, and my co-host is General Neil Leutholt, and we're speaking with Annette Kuiper from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program on Minnesota Military Radio. Annette, today is Military Appreciation Day at the fair.
We had a great day. We're having a great day. We have over 115 Yellow Ribbon Company volunteers that helped us line the parade route for our military youth today that we had this morning. We have events at Carousel Park all day, and then we have an expo area on Machinery Hill that is really all the resources that any veteran or military family could hope to have exposure to and make sure that they connect with. And it's been a great way to connect our Yellow Ribbon networks to anyone who attends the fair today.
In general, the Minnesota State Fair has been a big supporter. I think this is about the fourth year they've had Military Appreciation Day at the fair. It's quite an event, isn't it?
It really is. You know, our relationship with the fair has matured much like the relationships that Annette builds for us. Every year, the fair offers us an opportunity to expand a little bit. We try to be good stewards of the fair's goodwill and continue to have high-quality events. You know, it's a real treat for me to walk around the fair and meet soldiers that I haven't seen or that I've served with, you know, one or two assignments ago, and they're all here today because of this Military Appreciation Day.
Annette, what else is on your schedule for today, and what's coming up for the rest of the year? How many more cities and businesses are you wrestling to the table?
Well, we have several communities that we're working with. St. Michael and Albertville is looking to become a Yellow Ribbon Network. We're working with Waseca County, and we're working with several companies that want to join our efforts and come together to synchronize the efforts. And we're also ensuring that our current Yellow Ribbon Networks and our current Yellow Ribbon companies know what resources are out there so that no one is recreating the wheel, and that we are working together to meet the needs, and we're sharing best practices across the state.
And I have to thank you. We just did the fifth annual Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic, and quite a few of your Yellow Ribbon companies joined us to help raise funds so that we can be prepared for grants to Minnesota military families if they face financial emergencies. So once again, everybody's pulling together and finding the correct routes to help military families.
And it's truly working.
Annette, any final thoughts for us today?
Well, I'd just like to say, again, thank you to our Yellow Ribbon Networks, our Yellow Ribbon companies that came out today and really helped support our effort and continue to support our effort ongoing to learn more about resources and to connect us to military families and veterans and their needs.
Annette, keep up the good work. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Tom.
In general, we've got about a minute left. Division Commander, legendary Red Bulls, recently promoted to Major General. Thanks for joining us today at the fair. Any final thoughts for our listeners, sir?
Tom, I appreciate you saying that, but my thoughts today are only accolades for you and what you've done with Minnesota Military Radio Hour, with the way you've expanded it to additional networks, and I know you're embarking on a campaign to pick up additional stations so that this great quality programming can make it to as many of our soldiers and families and anybody who finds themselves so inclined to support soldiers and veterans. And so I very much appreciate your efforts today, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. It seems that that your boss, General Nash, suggested quietly one day that we expand the network. So we're running as hard as we can. We're on 21 radio stations around the state, from down in Austin to Laverne, up in Bemidji. Over in Duluth is the newest station, and we're looking to add some cities. So if any of our listeners, if you vacation or have a lake home somewhere and you want to hear Minnesota Military Radio, have them go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, contact us, And I'll be happy to come out there with Sergeant Ben. We'll talk to your local radio station, and we'll get all these great stories about all the work Annette's doing and all the wonderful work that the Minnesota National Guard and all our servicemen are doing all over the world. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the USAA and the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with USAA in support of our troops. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Chaliteau.
Every veteran deserves respect and recognition for their service, regardless of gender. For several years now, our veterans have received recognition for their valuable service through specialty license plates. While there are a variety of license plates out there, there has never been one designed specifically for our women veterans. In Minnesota, 29,000 of the 360,000 veterans are women. On July 16th, Governor Dayton signed a new bill authorizing a new woman's veterans license plate. Women veterans will gain the recognition they deserve through this new plate, designed specifically to honor their continued service.
Commissioner Chaliteau, for more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from USAA are Robert Simpson and Mike Evans. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Great to be here again.
Mike, seems like we saw you here about a year ago at Military Appreciation Day, and here you are, you're back.
Yeah, it's great to be part of this great event, and glad to be back again.
And Robert, your first time here on the radio show, and I don't know, were you at Military Appreciation Day before?
No, I wasn't. First time at the Minnesota State Fair.
And how's the day going?
Beautiful day. Just incredible.
Now, I know that for a couple of years, Mike, is this your second year that you've helped sponsor Military Appreciation Day?
Yeah, second year as the presenting sponsor, and my third year here, part of the Military Appreciation Day festivities.
And how did you guys get involved in supporting the Military Appreciation Day here at the Minnesota State Fair?
You know, Tom, as the local USA Military Affairs rep, I travel throughout the state supporting various events and gatherings like this. Just to show our support for the military community. So they asked if we were interested in being the presenting sponsor, and we said, heck yeah.
And Robert, for those listeners that might not know, USAA has a connection to our military, doesn't it?
Yes, Tom, for the last, since 1922, USAA has been serving the military members and their families and providing financial services products, banking, insurance, and investment.
And I would guess then that since all of your customers veterans,
all of the do you have to have worn the uniform or be a family member of someone that's worn the uniform and become a USAA member to be a member? So it is solely focused on the military community.
Well, and I've had some interactions with USAA, and I have to tell you they've been first class. Can you tell us what does it mean you do today to be here at the Minnesota State Fair and to be the sponsor of? What's become just a terrific day for veterans at the Minnesota State Fair.
It's a great opportunity for us to be able to recognize and honor. Today the theme is around the military kids and their sacrifice as their parents are deployed or away from them, and just opportunity to be out here and interact with so many veterans and military personnel to sponsor this event.
And I understand that you've got a new initiative called It Can Wait.
Absolutely. We've got a simulator that allows you to look at how it feels to text and drive. It's part of our major program to really provide a experience that demonstrates that texting and driving is a pretty serious distraction for you and creates safety issues on the road for you as well as the people around you.
And those people that tried the simulator, are they walking away knowing something new?
They consistently don't make it through the simulator.
So it's simulated crashes, I take it.
Yes, just about every event. It's texting for 4.5 seconds is equivalent to driving blindfolded down the highway for 100 yards at 55 miles an hour. And the simulators give you the opportunity to be able to see exactly how that feels.
Does seem like it's more and more of a problem on the roads today. You see people on the phones and texting and doing everything but driving. And that's got to affect the entire community, not just the person that's violating the rule not to text.
It absolutely does.
So, gentlemen, we just got about a minute left. Mike, you have more activities coming up this fall?
You know, Tom, I stay relatively busy. I finish here tomorrow, and I run over to Wisconsin for a change of command ceremony and get back up to Camp Ripley a couple times this month. So, yeah, I stay busy and move fast.
Robert, every time I talk to him, he's on the go. How do you guys keep track of him?
We don't. He just gives us a touch base with us every once in a while, let us know where he's at.
But not texting while he's driving.
Absolutely not.
Robert, I'd like to thank you on behalf of all of our veterans and the Minnesota State Fair for sponsoring Military Appreciation Day. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Tom, just thank you, and thank you for the veterans and their service, and truly appreciate the military families and the service and the protection of the freedom that they give us.
You guys at USAA are great partners, and we hope to see you back here next year.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks.
That was Robert Simpson and Mike Evans from USAA on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard are Tim Leonhard and Joe Egan. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio at the Minnesota State Fair.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Good to have you guys back. And, Tim, last time I saw you, I learned about your hat of courage.
My hat of courage. Yes.
You gave us a little speech at the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic, and you did a great job.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just have to have something to hold on to that you know that keeps you safe, and that's my hat.
And just another one of the things you and the Minnesota Patriot Guard do to help support the families of our service members and our veterans.
We really do. One of the things that, you know, today is Military Appreciation Day, and we all appreciate all the things that the military does for us, provides safety for our freedoms. We have a lot of respect for what goes on in the background that most people don't even understand.
And, Tim, for those folks that are out here with us at the Minnesota State Fair that might not be familiar with the Minnesota Patriot Guard, tell us what you're doing. Who's eligible?
Anybody is eligible. All you need is a 3x5 flag, a good heart, and an email address or some way of us getting a hold of you to let you know what missions we have.
We're right here at the Twin Cities News Talk booth right next to, what's next to us here, Tim?
A Harley-Davidson dealer.
That's one of those things that, those other things besides a cage.
Motorcycles.
That's what you ride.
I ride a motorcycle. I do.
But if anyone wants to join the Patriot Guard, they can come in a cage like I do.
They can come in a cage just like Tom drives.
Well, I have to do it. I'm not going on two wheels. Joe, what do you got for us today?
Well, Tim and I decided we can talk about, you know, when we think of military, what do we think of? And I think of many good things, all good things, and a lot of appreciation. But if I was going to boil down to four, I think it'd boil down to character, courage, principle, and freedom. Character meaning it's exposed when you do things that when people aren't looking, and it comes from surviving struggle. And also courage, having the guts to challenge your fears and knowing that fear is a requisite to courage. And also principle. It's a basic tenet about what you're willing to stand on and also stand for. And then finally, freedom. It's that inner kingdom of peace we possess when unchanged from the bondage of unjust restraint. And it comes from the ability to be self-reliant and, for sure, should never be taken for granted.
Tim, I think this must be the poet of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Tom's got some great words, doesn't he?
He really is. Joe is one of our better speakers. Most of us in the Patriot Guard don't speak. We got Sandra Heidem here in the back, and she's being very quiet.
The lady that just ran out the door.
She just ran out the door.
Okay. But we're back to the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Yeah. Your missions. Tell us about
our mission to provide honor, dignity, and respect to our military. We do it at funerals. We do it at our deployments, welcome homes. We just want to make sure that they know that somewhere in the country, somewhere in Minnesota, there are people that appreciate what they're doing.
And Tim, I'm sure you've seen a lot of old friends out here at the State Fair today and up where all the Minnesota Military Appreciation Day booths are.
I have. You know, that's one of the things that Minnesota Patriot Guard has done, and Patriot Guard across the country is created a great group of people. And they're all in it for honor, dignity, and respect.
Tim and Joe, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our fairgoers and our listeners?
When you see a veteran, thank them for what they've done.
Joe?
I would say, welcome home. So many have served and been back on this great country for so long and have never been thanked. So welcome them home.
And as we've learned today, we still have people in harm's way all over the world, including some members of the Minnesota National Guard over in Kuwait. So keep them in your hearts and your prayers. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leinhart and Joe Egan from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major General Neil Lloyd Holt, 34th Infantry Division Commander of the Minnesota National Guard, Colonel Greg Thingvold, all the way from Kuwait, Annette Kuiper, Robert Simpson and Mike Evans from USAA, Tim Leinhart and Joe Egan from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shalitoe of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet a panel of experts to discuss suicide prevention. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.